Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
On today's episode, The Real Housewives of New York visits the Berkshires. And let's just say Dorinda made it nice, or did she? And I may have gotten into a full-blown brawl with Luann. Comedian Nikki Glaser joins me, and she isn't holding back on her opinion, nor am I. So much fun. This is The Real Housewives of New York, Season 8, Episode 9, December, Berkshires County. Let's go.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi, good to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, thank you. And I always try to think, wait, have we met? And I think we met at the comedy cellar.
But I do remember meeting you because you're Bethany Frankel. I mean, I'm not going to not remember that. I'm delighted that you even have any memory of meeting me. But yes, it was with Gad, I think was our, yeah.
I was with Gad. Oh my God, I forgot about that. So I was with Gad because I met him online dating. I forgot about even meeting
no
him.
No way, Raya.
Yes.
But were you like dated? Like, so you guys were like dating?
No, I forgot. I think I had like lunch with him one day, and then that was our night date to go see him do comedy. And who's the other comedian that Sherrod Smalls?
Oh, yes. Sherrod. I love Sherrod so much.
So
yeah,
you
know good people. You know, it's just celebrities that aren't comedians get brought into the cellar, and you're always like, who brought that? Like, I was so glad to see that you were friends with my friends. So it was awesome to meet you and hang out with you. And you're just so, you know, I feel familiar with you, obviously, from Instagram and just everything. So you're one of those people.
That's so likewise. And it's so funny because I've always sort of touched comedy for years. I used to go to the Comedy Cellar with Brian Koppelman, my ex, who produces Billions.
And yes,
he was good friends with Alan Havey, and we used to go see Jon Stewart at the Comedy Cellar. So I always liked going to see comedians, and just over the years, I became friends with Lisa Lampanelli and Steve and Ross, and like I don't know why. So I've always known comedians.
I know why, because you're funny.
Well, I appreciate
you're
that.
You're fun, honest, and like that's turned it into this very specific kind of like skill set. But it all starts with a comment. That's why I think reality stars really overlap with comedians a lot, because you're just putting a lot out there. But you're whip smart and so funny. And I'm patting comedians on the back by saying like, you're one of us. Like we are too. But like, that's why it fits for sure. I mean, I'm watching this episode. Just, you are so funny. You say the funniest stuff in the heat of the moment where it's like, you're so quick, which you've always been. But just this, I think this episode really highlighted how funny you are and how enjoyable it is to just watch you, get angry, lose it, go off. It's awesome.
Well, you know, I can't only watch other shows where other people were sort of a shit show, because this is in many ways I don't really have many regrets, but, you know, if I regret anything, it's sort of calling names. I never really assassinate character. I'll talk about someone's choices, but I won't just call someone a name. So that was sort of unique for me to do that with Luann. And I do always sort of, I'm accountable to what I've done. But by the same token, a lot of this episode is quintessentially me. It's me going through a brutal divorce and I don't work the way I used to. I realized I was so, and it's so annoying, like watching someone who's so busy, which I was, but it's like someone saying, oh, I'm so exhausted.
No, it's different levels. Like as I feel, I felt, I empathized a lot with you when you were saying, I work so hard, my free time, I don't want to be spending it doing this. Like, I mean, and let's be honest, this is work too. Like
but
shooting
this
a reality
is the
show.
Reality of- show. This is the that there's no point. You have to do all that. Yeah. So there's a
you
lot
have
of
to, but it wasn't, it, this isn't your free time. And you're right. Like when there is supposed to be this relaxing thing, you don't want to be with these people that you're not really like that you have contention with. I mean, it's insane, but the name calling, I felt I liked how the producers handled it because I know as someone also who hates name calling, I feel like I hate that I keep trying to be like, I'm just like you because I like you so much. It's no. Seems ridiculous to say, but you like knew right away that it was like an ugly side of you that you were like ashamed of. You're joking about the tea coming to you that says easy now. You were like kind of grossed out by what you said.
Fact.
You stood by it a little bit, but the producers allowed you to have those of redemption right away. So, which I don't.
That's fair. And also, it's like you've eaten disgusting food, but you wanted the food. Like you ate it, you loved, you wanted that disgusting food. You feel gross right after, but I wanted it. I wanted to say it all. It was what it was.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, and honestly, you do see red in those moments. Those moments where my anger takes over and I just, there is a tiny voice in the back of my head that goes, you're going to have to apologize for this later. You're going to have to account for all of this. The fact that you did this in someone's home at their party, the fact that to the person you're saying it to, even though that's going to be harder to do, you know, all those voices and you go, you know what? Even though I'm going to have to do all that shit, I still need to say it and you can't stop it. It's totally, but it was really, you want to smash her over the head with an antler, which by the way, I just believe that there was probably a reindeer nearby. Yes. And you were just, because I know how my mind works. Like you're just, I can see where you're getting things from. I wish I would have shown whatever it was that.
I don't know why I even, I don't know why.
Deer on the wall.
I don't know if there is. We have to find out. There are fish on the wall in one room. But it's, you know those days you're like, yesterday was a day like that. I'm like, I am a bitch on wheels today. And I realized why I said bitch on wheels. My assistants were like, what does that mean? I'm like, because I can cover more ground. And someone was about to star with me. And I'm like, they don't know what they're walking into today. This is like, this is a full fest. And I'm going to kill somebody. So that was also what was going on up there. Add alcohol. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is what's funny too. But that is why people wonder, is it real? Like, how do you say, is it real to hang out with people you don't normally hang out with at 4 in the afternoon on a weekday, drink alcohol up in the Berkshires, wearing makeup? Like, is it real? I don't know. This, what I'm doing is real.
Okay. So I just want to say that the smashing the antler, just seeing red, going into a fury, saying things you don't want to say. And also, oh, I know where I wanted to leave off. You said that, are these really your friends? Is this real life?
Right.
I've done one season of a reality show on Eve with me and my family and my friends. And then I host F Boy Island. And what I'll say about reality shows is that, yeah, it's fake. Like the situations are fake. You didn't want to be at Dorinda's in the Berkshires that weekend. Like you were placed in a thing, but everything that happens is real. I mean, some of the setups for conversations, but then once the conversation gets going, it's real. And so I always say people who say reality shows are fake, I'm just like, well, do you think the zoo is fake? Like, it's as much like these.
No,
pandas
I
are
agree.
Still, they're putting in a habitat together, and now these people have to these, you know.
You're right. I don't know why I just thought of this, but I had an appearance a couple of months ago, and I went to this other. It's a big company, multi-billion-dollar company that I wanted to work with, and I went to go speak, and they didn't handle anything right. It was like really not great, meaning no one, my hotel room wasn't ready and no one was there. And then they wanted me to go to this event at night, but no one greeted me. And I was like walking, the driver didn't know where it was. And I was walking through the street in an unsafe city and it just was a shit show. Ugh. And even though I knew that I should shut the fuck up and just go and be a loser the way I was being treated, I still said something because it's who I am in that scene. So no, I don't normally have that kind of thing happen, but I still was like, I let them know it was fucked up, even though I knew I would burn the bridge of that big retailer, but I still did it. So it's kind of like what you're saying. We are in Dorinda's house. We are human beings. Luann's there, and this is what went down in the Berkshires.
And so, her, I mean, and then her taking credit for Skinny, I mean, it is insane. And it would have, that's what sent you over.
Exactly. All right. So let's start.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
So now we're in the Berkshires because it's to be continued, and we kind of just get into it with Luann, who really just wants to like meddle with me, meaning I will kind of just ignore her and just say shitty things under my breath, but she really just it seems like she really wants to address my hair, which does look similar to her in that scene. So I will say that. And that I didn't know that in the moment because my hair was just done that day. Who knows how it was done? But that, okay, so it looked like hers. And she had said in the beginning of the season, I think it was, that she was like, she kind of came up with the skinny girl margarita with me because she was sitting at the dinner table when I told her what it was. So that's the type of thing for me to take the bait on. And she was fucking with me with the hair. To what end, I don't know. So let's hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could have seen all the times in the past where she had said that. But I saw enough at the conversation about her saying that, where mm-hmm. she was like, well, I was there. I was at the table. And it's just like, what are you talking about? You, and then it did cut back to you ordering your drink, talking about it, and then her saying, oh, skinny girl. Okay. And you're like, kind of, but in what world would she be one of the founders of it because she witnessed you tell her about it? I mean, and then you go on to, she asks you about who you're dating and you're telling you, why would you? If someone who takes credit for something you mentioned that you came up with, how could you trust her? I mean, it's so insane. I can't
even imagine.
Well,
you also hear Ramona verify it too. It's funny because Ramona swiped in on some guy in Turks on somebody else, and the two of them have gone back and forth. But Luann is the Hall of Fame, that girl. Like, she is that girl. You do enter the witness protection program when you're dating someone. You don't even, you just know that she's just going to start, because I can't explain, like, more so, she will make a, she will be the sniper and the red light on that person, even if she never thought about that person.
Yeah.
I've had it happen. I'm talking to someone. She doesn't know who they are, but she thinks because I'm talking to them, they're probably some billionaire who has a plane who's going to buy her a big piece of jewelry.
Yeah. Like, chill out. You almost want to, like, test it. And, like, I'm like, fell for this homeless guy just to see if she's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, what, totally. No, I've told other people on the show to just tell Luann there's going to be a bunch of billionaires there. Just tell me a bunch of rich guys there. Wait, darling. So, yes, she
well,
is that
that's
girl.
That's the type of person. I mean, I would like to be friends with someone like Luann, because I would like to see them try with my boyfriend, because I just know he would never fall for that. But I always like enjoy when other women hit on or like try to get, but it's my boyfriend, but it's just mean though. And it's like, but I know she would go through with it if she could. That's so, how could I ever call this person a friend? You just can't. And what a lonely, I mean, I feel bad talking about someone like they're not a real person and like they're a character or something, but she is such a character. I feel bad for her. The person that she wasn't, 2016 or whenever this was, like, it's lonely, like no one trusts you, but she's so unaware of her actions. There's no awareness where you are immediately being aware of, oh my god, you're in the room upstairs. Let's not talk about even the interview later, where like months later you have to reflect on it. Right away you're going, that was ugly. There's no awareness on her part. It's so frustrating.
That's
I can't imagine spending a weekend with that.
Right. But she wants to clean it up for optics immediately, but it's just to do the cleanup, but it didn't happen. You know,
and
that's,
you know,
very,
it's not sincere.
I know.
The text she sent you was insane.
I know, but it's funny. There are people that start out on a show with bad behavior and continue that the whole way through. And they're in such a not perfect box that it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter, because you have that reputation. If you don't have that reputation, you do one thing and everybody thinks you're a piece of shit. It's really amazing.
Right.
You start out being that person, everybody's like, ah, it's the Countess. Like, she just does that. Nobody cares.
Yes, but if you are good all the time, like, you know, just a normal person, then you have one freak out. It becomes who you are more so. That's really interesting, because it is it's a bed of nails, you know, like you just don't even notice it anymore with her.
Yes.
Like, this is, and you know what? The flip side, she does something human or conscionable, like, where she acts nice and you go, she's amazing.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like, I love her. She's done a 180 and you forgive so much more. It's so fascinating.
Well, I don't even think, it's funny, because I thought I called her a whore and that's what came out, because I've made that the game of telephone. In the scene, I called her a slut.
You said a slut.
Right.
And I love how everyone was like, I would love to be called a slut. Ramona's like, oh, I would love it.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
But two things. One, to the point we were talking about before about the bed of nails. In this episode, we find out that Luann has called a human being a pedophile, and yet the slut shaming seems way bigger an offense. I'm in way more trouble. She never gets in a big trouble for pedophile, except for by the person she called it to, which wasn't technically slut shaming. I was shaming the better than and not admitting and being hypocritical about being a slut. That
yeah,
was kind
you were
of
listing.
What I thought.
This is what you are. This is what you're about. This is what you do. This is it. Yeah, it didn't feel slut shamey to me, but I'm sure you got the a lot of gruff after that. Like, you are still probably, people remember that moment but you're right. She, the pedophile thing, that is so hurtful. And then Luann admits to dating someone who was 25. I go, wait, why is, because Luann just says, like you and me,
she
says whatever she's, pops into her head, and there's no question of like, could this be hypocritical? It's honestly an anomaly.
Okay, so Dorinda calls me a sniper with the red dot, which I do enjoy.
I love that.
It is kind of true. I was like, I'm gonna come fucking get you now. You started, I'm gonna kill you now. So
yeah,
that's
and you're, it's just like, the one thing I worry about though, I would rather you come at me, even though you're gonna be a sniper and like, hit me probably where it really hurts. You would probably tell me something true about myself if we got into an argument, but I would worry arguing or getting in a fight with someone like Luann, who is going to say like the meanest, most superficial, like thing about like my, like I get always worried. I don't like to get into, you know, fights with people who I think are going to like punch low. I want because, you to like,
and by the way, she might say something who's not even true, but then it's out there. It's like a bad divorce lawyer. You always want a good divorce lawyer because they're going to at least fight fair. The bad ones are cowboys and they'll go do crazy shit and you can't deal with them.
Yes. Well, I mean, you want a good one on you. Do you want a bad one on your
side? You
want
both. You want a good one on both sides for this, that reason. Just you want, even though they're a great expense for the other team and it's like a good, it's like LeBron and Michael Jordan or something. You want that because you're not, it's not playing with someone who's half cocked and crazy. Like that's what you're effectively saying. You want like a good game, you know, like a good, and there's not a lot of that going on in the Housewives.
No, there isn't.
Be scary.
And that's it can be hurtful. And you're absolutely right. I didn't even think about the context of like, okay, this bitch says this thing that is a lie. It is crazy. And now it's what everyone's going to know or think, or that's going to be the truth. Like it's kind of relates to when I do roasts and someone makes fun of me in a way, talk about like low blows, like makes fun of my looks in a way and says something about myself that only I've ever thought in private about myself. And then everyone laughs and you're like, oh, it's out there now. So now I have people coming up to me being like, hey, Owen Wilson, like now it's a thing that follows me. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, you know, like they would have never seen it. That's why I don't like posting clips of my stand up on Instagram or YouTube, because it's when it's on HBO Max or whatever. I don't read. There's no comments for people who are watching it to read, because I think so often we figure out how we feel about something online by reading the comments first. Or even if we watch it, we then read the comments and go, oh, actually, yeah, she is kind of a bitch in this. Like even me, and I'm a savvy consumer, I totally get sidelined and completely influenced by comments. And I think that that's why I hate.
Well, but they do give you a different point of view sometimes too. Like
they are helpful. Oh,
yeah,
totally. But they can steer it the wrong way. And do you, as someone, I mean, I'm sure you've answered this a million times, as someone who's been in this kind of spotlight for so long, do you subject yourself to comments and criticism? How do you avoid it? What's your relationship with that?
I think a lot of it's true. It's the same thing. If someone's just character assassinating, ugh, you look old. It's like, okay, well, I think I am getting older because the clock seems to be going around in circles today. But I do think some of it's constructive, and being on reality TV has in some ways been good for self-reflection in that way, if you're able to deal with it. So and I don't think everybody who comments is a troll. I think you can kind of see through, but there are different breeding grounds that are different. I do think that everybody, I think of it as like a parasite and the host. And when one thing happens and then something is said, all of the parasites run to that thing. And you kind of got to not give it blood to suck off of for a while, to let them just like calm down, because everybody comes in and you think it's real. And I've been like very, very close to cancellation, like whatever that means. But I've been like on the line so many times. So there's like a way to drive the car where you're not holding the steering wheel too tight or too loose. You can't let go, but you can't like hold it too tight. You got to just like kind of cruise the car at 55, like.
So pay attention to what they're saying, but don't pay too much attention.
No, can't live in there. Got to visit there and then get the fuck out.
What about but these cancellation times? How do you censor your? Do you look back on those times and go, "Oh, I see what I did wrong there." I mean, as a businesswoman, you are. I know you're course correcting, but like, are those totally like flukes? Like it could happen anytime.
So just not everything needs to be said. Like not everything needs to be said. So it's a lesson in life about when you want to go fuck with some people or not, if it's not necessary. But I don't like being a baby and being and not saying what I think. So I've really ridden and crossed that line many times.
And in watching the show, is it hard for you to watch these shows or is it kind of fun?
No, it's so fun and so stupid. And I also find myself having affection for people that I didn't like while on the show, because I don't think they were great housewives, but they seem like nice people. And we'll get into that with Jules. She seems like a lovely, sweet, defenseless girl, but she was like, you got to get out of my way. We're playing all-star here. We can't have babies. You know, like I've had that. Kristen was lovely, Takeman, but you're dealing with a bunch of pack of Wolverines. You got to get the fuck out of the way. We can't have like nice, sweet people around here.
Well, do you think you do need those women though to be there as the like the filler. Just the witnesses to it?
Filler. Yeah, but you got to have a little like
bring something to the table.
Yeah, a little more, like a little more than that. You know, you can't just bring it once in a while. Like Tinsley's a perfect example. She's a nice person. She doesn't really gossip and talk badly that much. But like, there's enough of ridiculous drama and her wearing some wedding dress that like trying on a wedding dress when she's not engaged. There's enough stuff there that she was a decent.
Yeah.
Where other people are just like taking up a spot and we need good players on the team. That's how.
Yeah.
I
was just texting with my mom because she's such a fan of you and the franchise. And I'm not, I've watched like the first season of New York and then I watched your spinoff shows. Like I followed you, but this, I'm not familiar, you know, and I know all the characters pretty much just from paying attention to people talking. But when I had my own reality show and I was just texting my mom because we were both on it, I'm like, we just needed more of this. Like I wish Aunt Lynn were still alive. I'm like, we needed more conflict. Like, and I wish I would have gone a little bit harder in that direction. I think I was just scared to be portrayed as a bitch, to have that side of myself seen. And it makes me want to like redo and like bring a little bit more conflict, more realness. But I was just, I think, trying to.
It's so gross, though. Like,
no, exactly. You don't need it.
The alternative is so, could be so damaging that that's the line. And if you cross it, you'd be in a different situation with your family. And
yes,
it's a challenging thing, you know.
I just need to get some friends.
So
together.
Yes.
That I want to like not be friends with in 2 years. Yeah.
Exactly. So speaking. So I noticed that there was a lot of cancellation type talk that we didn't think about then. So Carol says Lou Mann and she says something later, but that's kind of like saying that Luann is really a man. And would that play today or no?
I didn't clock it because I just thought it was so funny and just like a, you know, play on words. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely, because the implication is that I'm making fun of you right now. You seem like a man, a woman that is, then yeah, I think that would be something that would get talked about. And it's so funny that like, it isn't because it's not airing right now, but it's still out there.
Exactly. And I, you know, it's rare to see Ramona where she's just like so perky and happy because the shit pile is not on her. Like she's so happy. And I do give her credit for like piling on about Tom too, because that's a good housewife. That's my point. She's not in the fray. So Jules doesn't try to get herself in the fray at all, except for talk about her father, you know, which was sad. But Ramona is not even near the line of fire, which she will do all the time accidentally. And yet she's still like, let me come in here and fucking fuck with you a little.
She did.
So I respect.
That's a good housewife.
That's a great housewife. That's my point. Like, you don't have to like Ramona. The thing is, not every person is politically correct. Like, you have to have this show reflect human beings, likable, not likable. So that's why, like, Ramona, no matter what, is a good housewife. And Jules is lovely, but was not a good housewife.
The way I saw Ramona go into the kitchen with Luann and then get Luann going, because Luann's going off on like, this, it's not her birthday. There's a birthday cake right here. And she's going off. And then Ramona's cackling, laughing in a way that I know that laughter. It's like, she's trying to egg Luann on, get Luann's spirits back up. And then she gets in with now you should text them. She's a great ringleader, a great housewife, a great game player, and just crazy.
And what's funny is that, and this is my hand to God, I haven't been caught lying in this life yet, so it's not going to happen now. Ramona's the first one, A, to talk about ratings. I didn't even understand what ratings were. Like, I didn't think about them because they didn't allow us to know what they were because they wanted us to be like handmaids, at, you know, in Bravo. But they all be the same.
Yeah.
Wearing the same. But Ramona's the first person to like, I was always just living and then wherever the camera was, it was following us. Ramona will go over to the camera. Like, she's the first person to be like, the cameras are over there. Get the cat. She will say to a camera guy, bring the cameras over here. In my life, I've never asked for the cameras to come somewhere. Like, she's aware of where the camera is. And if you watch the show, throws through that lens, you'll see it. Luann is like that too. Like, they want to be, they know they want to be in more scenes.
Savvy.
And like, yes, it's very funny. But I did see Tom. I was out for dinner and I don't remember who I was out with, but I did see Ramona out on one of her famous dates with Tom. Maybe even twice, but definitely once. So that's a
fact. They went out 7 times is what she said. And to me, that is enough where you should maybe, if you're Luann, check in with your friend and go, is it cool if I go out with this guy?
And then she said half a dozen, but I believe, because I think I saw 1 to 2 of them and I knew about it. But like, that's the Upper East Side sewage pot. They all just date each other and like, they all hang out at the same desperate divorcee bars. And it's really, very cliche, and that's a show. Like that little circuit, the circuit, the Upper East Side circuit, yeah. It could be called, is a group of people. It's a little it's like aged now, but yeah, that's a crew.
Did you ever? So you've dipped your toe in it and just seen it and gone, ugh.
No, God, I gotta get that. I lived on the Upper East Side in my like 20s and early 30s, so I knew the people and I knew it, but I always wanted to live downtown. It was just there was something about it up there I was not a fan of.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Let's just discuss Luann going outside with Jules. Couldn't give a good fuck about Jules' dying father. Didn't even ask. That's like, so you know, classic. When you're like, oh, I'm sorry, can I get you something? You know, someone's like, I don't feel well. They're like in Chicago. You're on the phone. Hey, can I order you some food? Like, they don't have Uber Eats. Like, you're right. Just saying something to say.
Because you know that they're not going to actually take you up on it. Of course. She can't even give her that.
Exactly.
It was.
Let me get the check. Like, that they're not going to. Like, none of this.
She's just she is a rare person. Like, I just don't even understand. She's fascinating to watch. Just having, I don't know how she has friends. I don't know how she's has had relationships. And I just don't know how. I want to know how this person gets by on pure ego, which is all a deep underbelly of low self-esteem, which is the irony of all of it. It's like everything that she presents and projects is both like being, you know, emotionally not that smart, but also really insecure. And just, but that moment, just not being able to even give her the smallest, like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry that I'm going through that. I've been going through something and our friend is going through something worse. And you throw him a bone, but you get back to your thing because you go, I know this is dumb, but. She can do,
and
she
I'm so no sorry awareness. Because I know your father's sick and I shouldn't be so selfish, right? Like, some people just get away with being like that. And thank God she's a good housewife for, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know
we get to say. Watch it. Yeah.
Thank you. Because it was actually. And Dorinda It's so, I love the calm before the storm stuff. Like Dorinda's like, so calm. I'm just the host and everyone's so crazy around here and whatever. And then the cake. And what? That's like a famous scene that in the moment seemed like nothing. I wasn't even there, I don't think.
What was that? What was it about, you don't talk about my mom's cake? It's like, wait, what are we witnessing?
Well, because we've been drinking during the day now. And so, sure. You know, and then, and this thing is escalating and you have no idea whether Dorinda is just like watching it all. And then something happens. It makes her feel sad. You could want to get in, coach, put me in the coach. I've been benching myself. I want to get in there in the fight. Like there could be 20
yes.
things.
Okay.
The alcohol could have just kicked. Like so many mm-hmm. things are going on. You're just like, but Dorinda can snap. Like I reckon, you know how Dorinda can just like, it's not sniper. I'm sniper with the red thing, which is more like, I'm going to fuck you up right now. And it's coming
oh, yeah.
and I'm premeditated. Dorinda, well, it's just like she's sitting there and she's just going to snap. And it could be you said something. When Dorinda, when Luann said to her in Colombia years later about Dorinda, oh, she's turning or something. It was that one little thing that just set Dorinda off. Like, oh, really?
Okay.
So it was just like about.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's
cake.
Like
she was making fun a little.
Yeah. Like she said, she's presenting this weekend is not about her birthday yet. There's a birthday cake and she didn't like to be made fun of. It involved her mom. I thought maybe her mom made it and her mom's sick or something. It was like, no, your mom bought it. It was just like, why do you care so much about this cake your mom bought? And it's
because she made fun of it a little. Like she made fun. And then it's like Dorinda's defenseless mom. Like she made fun of the cake because it wasn't that cute of a cake. So then
you're right. That's it.
You know what
that
I mean?
Was
it was like a
she
little
was
like
embarrassed
this.
Of her mom's selection of cake. She was aware of it. She clocked it because she even mentions you can make fun of my decorations, which were all like corny and cheesy, much like the cake. But don't my mom did the cake. I didn't make fun of my cheesy shit. Don't make fun of my mom's taste.
Right. I was very confused by Jules's like weird snack bag, like at Dorinda's house. It's a big house. She has a lot of food. She made it nice. Like there was like a little parcel of pretzels.
But you know what? Like I know I have friends who are like, you know, in treatment and in recovery and they have to have like their foods that they know are going to fit their meal plan. And so it felt,
they're safe.
But it's safe.
It's safe.
And I still have leftover things where I'm like, I have to bring these certain things because I don't know if I want to eat what they have, like just control
like
and like, but it was
same.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. It was a unique snack to worry if someone might have something like. It
pretzels,
wasn't...
you're so right. But I'm sure it was like the kind of pretzel that is like the least amount of calorie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
My pretzel.
It's like a rice flour pretzel or
yes,
something.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
like hollow pretzels or something. I don't know.
Now we get into the vagina. And yeah. Sonia's vagina. I did never hear of trout mouth. Sonia is very sad. Sonia and Ramona and Dorinda, but more Sonia and Ramona, are very savvy about like procedures. Sonia had like the string thing. She's had plastic surgery. Ramona's mm-hmm. had everything. The two of them, I have to say,
Carol's had
lot.
Some stuff too. I mean, Carol oh, could
yeah,
Carol could get
knows,
in on that.
Carol knows a lot about a lot of it. Exactly. But the vagina, like, it's tightening.
Yeah, I don't even know what they were exactly. I guess they were fixing the tightness, she said, or the, I know there's a lot of things you can do down there in terms of like, there's just like a sagging that happens because it's like, there could be stuff. I don't know exactly what they were.
I don't think it was like surgical sagging. I think it was like an overall tightening,
just
like
tightening
lipo of, vagina. Like,
yeah.
Like is it called vagoplasty or did I make that? I think I made that up. Vaginal rejuvenation.
Right. Yeah, and then there's vaginal steaming. I don't really know.
Steaming?
I mean, I would definitely
wait
be,
a minute. Back
there's
up.
Like a steaming. I think.
Why can't
I
you
think
just go in like
a steam room and just
like
yeah, open your legs and pull
yeah.
Luann?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know. I just remember that one. I got an O shot, which was like I got my. They took like my blood and spun it in a little thing, and then did the PRP, and. Then injected it into my, like
why?
They numb you
oh,
to like make to
more
make more blood flow down
oh,
there.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
That was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't
that
know. I would definitely get a tight. Like, why wouldn't I get a tight? Like, if they could stick a wand up there and do some stuff and tighten it. I love procedures and stuff like this. I wouldn't get in on the 3 months or like that's they've only been doing it 3 months. I'd wait a little bit longer.
Oh, I would also. I wonder if there's a thing like. if you go on a plastic surgery tour, they'll tell you like, oh, from your nose to your lip, it's that many millimeters. And, or your face has, so it'd be nice to go in and be like, put that thing in and tell me how my vagina compares to Emily Ratajkowski's vagina.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what hers looks like. I'm guessing based on the rest of her body, pretty perfect.
Pretty like peachy and taut. Yeah. But I'd like to know, like, let's take a yacht. Like, how does it compare?
How does it stack up?
A scale.
I've done that with my friends. I've, like, whenever we're on girls trips, which we do like 3 times a year with my best friends from like my whole life, we always end up comparing our vaginas and kind of like, because you don't see other vaginas a lot as a woman, like in the locker room. We're not like walking around. They're not hanging out dangling, like dicks are.
Right.
Like guys can always clock dick size and get an idea of where they are in locker rooms. But girls, we don't know. So it is nice to see and compare and go, oh yeah, I do have a little bit more poking out than she does, but you're never the worst one. I mean, someone has to be, or the worst.
Well, no, there's some
quotes
that they have to get that surgery. It's very like, it's like having an Audi.
Labiaplasty. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So, all right. But I, you know, and I always, it's like Sonia's the one washing her underwear and her bidet and going to get her vagina tight. And you got to love, this is when people want to have a storyline. Like, you're just going to have to do it. You do the vagina thing, Sonia. You got to own it.
Right, right, right. I feel like I look enough like Sonia. Like, I like I like the work she's had done, even though she does have like a little plastic surgery face. I'm like, oh, I'll probably head for that kind of look eventually.
Right. Well, I said that in something that I, like, when I spoke about the plastic surgery tour.
Yeah, I loved that.
That you have to really decide what you want to look like. There's a woman who, Lisa Hochstein, she's on Miami, which I haven't seen the show, but I've met her, and she was married to a plastic surgeon. I guess he's a boob guy, but adjacent. Mm-hmm. And she looked like a doll. Like, every, but it's like, boom, boom. It's not for me, but like, I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, that person has to like be decked every day and like do that pink,
you're right,
velour set sweatsuit doll look. Like, you got to live that whole look.
Yes.
You know?
I think it's, you're right. You have to, you can't have that face and wear just like sweats to, you know,
ratty,
like,
Levi's in a t-shirt. You look weird.
No. Yeah, you would. That's a good point. It is. I think it's very risky to have these procedures and like, cause they can go so wrong as we've seen, but I think there's this culture of being like, why did she ruin her face? And I'm always just like, she's just trying to stay young and relevant.
And she might not,
like,
have ruined it. You're just not used to looking at it that way. Like, Kyle's had work for sure, but she looks good. And everybody, like,
she had good work.
Kris Jenner, I think the Kardashians, some of it's a little alien-like, but a lot of it's good work.
Good.
And so I would take the chance of someone being like, oh, what did she do to her face? She did plastic surgery. But like, you did. Meaning, I have a friend who did it, and you can't tell anything. And like, I don't want to be able to tell nothing. Like a little.
Oh,
like,
you got, I hate when you get a haircut and like no one notices. You want someone to go, you look great. Like, my friends that like convinced me to start getting stuff done says, no one ever notices if it's subtle enough, but they always just say like, you look amazing. Like, you just get more compliments about how well rested you looked, or like you're glowing, or like, you know, certain things like that. But I definitely want to see the results. And I always think my nose is getting bigger as I age, as your nose and ears do. And I was recently talking to my girlfriends about, like, I just want to maybe get a tiny nose job to get back to the way it was when I remember my nose being like, it's just grown a little bit more in the last 5 years. And they're just like, they kind of want to do it too, but they're scared too. And they don't want you to, if you do it, then I'll have to do it. And we all have to have this perfect nose. And it's like, I don't
know.
And
I think you sold out. People, that when I tell these stories, I'm like, you might think I sold out. Like, did I say, are you vain?
Yes. I mean, I can be like, I grew up with a really pretty sister, and I was like the ugly sister, if you know, between us. And so I grew up with a sister that was younger than me that all the guys that were my age liked. And like, I just grew up hearing your sister's beautiful in front of me all the time, where it was like, they wouldn't even think to not say it in front of me because I'm so not as beautiful as her that it couldn't hurt her feelings. She's a boy, or like, you just, it was like, and it was so funny.
Well,
this
don't
weekend,
worry. Kylie Jenner was that person in that family.
That's a good, yeah. I mean, that's what made me, my sister's a school teacher, doesn't want any kind of fame, any kind of praise from the outside world. And I'm desperate for it. And that's why I think it led me to have this kind of career. But it was so interesting. And I hate to even bring this up because it was such an embarrassing moment. But I was at lunch this weekend with my girlfriend, and this guy that was like working at the counter of this vegan place we went to. We were like, oh, he's cute. And he was young, but we were like, oh my God, if we were 10 years younger, we'd have a crush. And he came over and he asked my friend out in front, like, and I got so, I wasn't even attracted to this guy. I have a boyfriend. I don't want to be asked out. It's awkward. I got so hurt.
Triggered.
It was almost like, I in my mind, he's thinking, I can do this in front of that other girl because she's so not as attractive as her friend that she wouldn't even think I would ever talk to her.
Right.
But really, it could have been many. He could have just been more. He's more attracted to my friend.
Tight. Yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. But I couldn't tell my friend at the time because it's so embarrassing to have this feeling. And so I texted my other friend who's like, you know, we work on therapy stuff. And I'm like, I'm having this response. This is so ridiculous. And I was there for my friend because she was so excited. She's like married and like feels like washed up a little bit. And she's like, oh my God, this 25-year-old kid thought I was 30. And like, because he was like, I think you're probably 5 years older than me. She goes, you think I'm 30? And so it was like this moment. She was so excited. There was no part of her rubbing it in my face. But I just took it so personally. And so in those ways, I think, yeah, I am vain. Like, why do I need that? And and it disgusts me about myself. And there are other times where I get so relieved when I don't care about what I look, when I have those moments of like, because like you said, when people go, oh, you look old. Oh, I'm so sorry I aged. Like, there's nothing wrong with aging. So I want to feel, you know, that's like what my, you know, hour of comedy about that I'm on the road with now is really about is like, grappling with this idea of like, I can't wait to age because I can't wait to give up and like, not give up, but like have other interests than worrying about my face.
I've never been vain because I had a mother who like was gorgeous, but she went to everywhere in like overalls and never wore makeup. So
that's great.
It's only about like preventative. And if it's something I would ever want to do, I don't want to do it late because then you have to do more. But I keep, all right. So
hold
on. Yeah, because that's the problem. If you wait, it's more to do, shows more, and it lasts less time. So for me, it's about always about logic, about like locking the door if you think you're going to eventually want it. Yeah. Okay. So Andy Cohen described the show as like being in the Berkshires as a drawing room comedy, like to me personally. And I love that because you're hearing all these, I love the way they're shooting it. And it's just in one house, you're hearing all these conversations in different rooms.
And there's eavesdropping that's happening in real life. Like you can hide in a closet. It's like a game of Clue. It was incredible.
Hey, it's me, Blippi. And this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride, we're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
And I love that, like, Ramona keeps saying to Luann, who has already called someone a pedophile and already tried to steal someone's idea, who has, you know, done 1,000 things on the show that are horrifying and certainly the opposite of class, that Ramona keeps saying, well, no, you should apologize. I mean, you're the Countess. Like, is it, what does that mean? You are assigned a, like, I'm the Joker. Like, you are assigned a title that like, now you're supposed to. You're from Connecticut. You're not from, like, Europe. You're not friends, you know, you're not connected to Kate Middleton. Like, why are you supposed to have more decorum than anyone else? It's so stupid. I hate shit like that.
It was so funny when they cut to a clip of you even saying that to her, of like, what class with the Countess? Like, do you have more class? Because you are, I don't even understand this. Like, but Ramona, that's her at work being the perfect puppet master of, like, do this, like, I know how to get Luann to do anything. A Countess would do this behavior. Stay up with your Countess behavior. So she's right. Just like, she knows exactly what Luann needs to hear, which is this dumb title she's given herself that seems to give her some sort of pride and identity that makes her feel better than everyone else and gives her a superiority.
Yeah, it worked because her big line is, well, when someone's like, you're not married to him. And it was like, well, this Queen Latifah is not a queen. That's her,
God.
Yeah.
God. She was so excited when someone gave that to her. She probably, because there's no way she thought of that on her own.
No.
But I know the day that someone said that, she goes, oh, I'm writing that. That is good. That's good. I'm writing it down and, like, memorized it. It's like, okay, get another example. Dr. Dre is not a real doctor. I'll give her that one.
Right.
She just needs to mix it up. Have more examples.
Totally. I was a very good speller, and I was cringing when no one in the house could spell pedophile. Like, I am not just saying I used to whip, like, it's not that, like, pedophile. That's how, like, that was embarrassing.
And embarrassing. That, I'm so glad you pointed that out, because that was such a hilarious moment. I'm like, you don't know how to spell pedophile?
Or start with a P. Like, let's just give me a letter. Yeah. Do Vanna White. Yes.
Then
the housewife's apology. I am sorry that you misunderstood may have miscommunicated. Like, And Ramona's like, she didn't misunderstand. I loved that.
Yes. Ramona had your back so hard. And even, like, saying, like, well, Bethany, smart. I love how they were trying to make their text to you smart. So by doing that, they reused the word misunderstood. They thought misunderstood was, like, a real smart word. So they used it twice in their text to you to be like, so Bethany, she'll get this. Cause, like, it's one smart girl that would know.
Right. Thank you. That was a very intelligent.
It was so funny.
And
that you're so right about the housewife apology, which I've even had to tell my mom, like, apologies aren't, first of all, apologies don't have the word but, like, at the end of them. There's no,
or
like,
you, it's a, I, or you.
You, or you. And I think it's like, just those apologies. And she was so proud of herself. Luann was so proud of herself for sending those off.
She took the
high
road.
And so was Ramona.
Yeah,
oh, she's because she's the bigger person. But that was, I mean, she's so everything. I just don't know how this will. I would love. There's part of me that, like, envies this delusion.
Well, I want to
go back.
Of course
not, because I don't want people to. Yeah.
You want to go in for one scene and just put me in, coach. And so do I. But I wouldn't do it for any amount.
Well, right. I envied Luann's delusion. I envy being that. You know, ignorance is bliss. And it seems like she seems to be having a good time thinking she's right all the time.
So you're the writer, you're the comedian. In closing this crazy shit show, I want to know your favorite, just your rose and your thorn of the episode, like the best line, the worst, or who won or who lost, just that kind of thing.
I mean, my best line was you saying, I'm going to crack her over the head with an antler. And then you go, I'm smash her. That was just the word choice as a comedian was so spot on. The randomness, like, you've never heard that insult before,
right?
But you got it. And then the low point, man, this was a great episode. I mean, is this episode one of, like, do people talk about it, reference it often? I mean, is it one of the best in your opinion? Because
it's an excellent episode. And I'm going to tell you something, as an efficient business person who likes an ROI, we could go on a, I always like the trips we go to Miami. We take a 2.5 hour flight. We're there 2 days, burn that place to the ground, come out, and we get the same amount of episodes as them taking us to Israel on an 11-hour flight, and we have to do all the shit with these people that we don't want to be with, and we didn't see Israel, and it wasn't a good trip. So the efficiency of the Berkshires with more than one episode in the same house, don't have to do a location change, don't have to get in a minivan. It's just, for me, it's so good because it's so concentrated. So I like that.
The low point for me was you sadly opening your little pajamas that Dorinda got you on your bed and then putting them to the side. And just, I saw you in your head going like, well, I'm not taking that home. What's happening? Now Beth has to get rid of these fucking pajamas in some way. She's going to have to donate that.
I don't know where they are and I want them now. I want to see them. What did it say?
It was some Christmas themed pajama that I think Dorinda probably got them. It's a cute idea. You probably all got the same pair. They're a little goofy, striped. But I just saw you laying them out on the bed and I just go, Bethany's going to have to take those back. Then she's going to have to tell someone hey, we got to take some things to Goodwill. It just is sometimes you get a gift and it's
Dorinda's pajamas. Yes,
and it's just sometimes you get a gift and you're like, this is a job. Thank you. But this is now going to be work for me. And that was a low point for me.
You have to take a social media picture. Yes.
That's why I struggle with that when people send you free stuff and you literally don't like it. I guess, to be honest, you just go, thank you for this. That's not saying you like it or don't like it.
Exactly.
But if you like something, but I really want to say before we go, thank you so much for all of the makeup. I've always been buying all my makeup at Walgreens. I've always been doing drugstore makeup, and you have just exacted my game. We have some of the same overlaps where I've been like, yes, Wet and Wild, dewy foundation.
Oh my God. It's
the best. It's the best.
Really good.
But you've turned me on. Me and my friends send each other your things and I go, I got it. I just got it. I got this one. I would say at least 5 or 6 items in my makeup bag that are my regular things are from your suggestions.
But by the way, aren't I right?
My favorite thing
about it is the people in the comments are like, oh my God, you were right. I'm not lying. I'm not being paid 99.9. I think I'm getting good at this. I think I'm right.
I'm sure Walgreens has approached you. Should do a part. I mean, they should, because
I know.
There's no chance, even if you got sponsored, that you would be leading us astray. You can always find something that would be great. But you, it's such a good market you've cornered on just let's call out this bullshit of paying $80 for a fucking primer that is the same as a $4.
Not that though, but primer is moisture. Going even deeper, bronzer is eyeshadow and blush is, I didn't know that. Highlighter
it's all the
is
same.
Eyeshadow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's so good.
Powder in a square or a circle.
You're doing so much. I just think for women's budgets and self-esteem of just.
Not to feel shitty for not being able to buy something, but you're not missing out. It's the same shit. Yeah,
you're
it's
not.
Good.
And watching someone like you that could afford all that stuff going I'm being savvy. I'm not spending fucking $40 on this eyeshadow that I don't need. It's so refreshing. So, you just always, you're so cool. You're funny. It's inspiring. Those videos, just the casualness of it, but the directness and the way you talk is just hilarious. I mean, I study your word choice. It's comedian level of funny. So you're really quick and you very much could have been a comedian if you wanted to be.
Oh, believe me, it's a side dream of mine. I feel the same way about you and I want to be friends and get together.
Someday I'll be a comedian.
Yeah, one day. We can only hope. Likewise. I hope I get to be a comedian one day.
Thanks,
so let's
Bethany.
Be friends. Let's get together when we're in
I would
the same
love
place.
It. I would love it. It'd
awesome.
Be so fun.
All right. Bye, Nikki.
Bye, Bethany. Thank you.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.